Forward. There's no graphic for this right now, but it's in your bulletin. Say forward.
Forward.
I've got there is a green button, a forward button, fast forward button, because the Lord wants us to think about today about going forward, moving forward. One thing about life is you can't go backwards. Amen? So
I cannot go
backwards.
Go backwards.
Now, we say we can't go backwards, but sometimes we almost live in the past. Sometimes we're responding to or thinking about or trapped in mindsets from the past. But I want to today encourage you and inspire you in the Word of God about forward. And I may carry this forward next week. We'll see how the Lord speaks on this. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Get your Bible. We're going to hold the Bible up here in a minute. But find 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's make a statement to God of our expectation. Hold your Bible up and say, Father, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation. For my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me also remind us that this is Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow's Memorial Day. Now, I tell you what, I have a very deep patriotic streak in me, in the sense that I know and appreciate what it took to bring us to a place of freedom, amen? And so that those who have served the country in uniform, and those who've died doing so in service to the country and freedom, that's a tremendous sacrifice.
Amen.
And I think that most of us may know somebody, you know, all of us know those who have served, including Deacon Ingram, who served in Vietnam. Y'all can't imagine what that was like, okay? He served in Vietnam, and I know there are others who aren't here today who've served. Who else has served? Thank you. Galen, who's not here today, of course, but Brother Boyle served, and So they know people who died serving, and they probably seen death. I know Brother Ingram has seen death in all kind of ways. So, you know, we can gather here and go from state to state and, you know, do what we want to do because we're a free nation. But freedom's not free. Freedom is never free. Even our spiritual freedom came at the price of Jesus' blood and Jesus' life. Amen. And so that we appreciate all who have, you know, sacrificed in death and in life to bring us to a place of blessing. Amen, church?
Amen.
We also mostly thank God for Jesus Christ, you know, because the Bible says no greater love than one has to lay his life down for his friends. So Jesus gave his life for us. Amen. Aren't you glad for the freedom that's come because of that? Amen. So thank God for all who've served, in memory of those who've died serving. You know, we think about it's race day today and all that. So we're kind of, you know, occupied with the race. We call it the race. The rest of the world calls it the Indianapolis 500. We just say the race. That's all we got to say. But with all that going on, it is good to remember why we have Memorial Day. Amen. All right. God bless you. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Say,
I have treasure
in my vessel.
Say,
I have treasure
in my vessel.
Your vessel is your life. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your personality, you know, all that God made you. And there is this thing called treasure in you. Now, a lot of stuff is in us. You know, we sometimes get off from things and get full of things that aren't the treasure. But if you're a believer in Christ, there is inside of you, there's treasure. Say, there's treasure in me. Now, he says here that the reason for this is that the excellence of the power, that is the power of God, the things God does, may be of God and not of us. So we have this amazing ability to serve the world, serve ourselves, or we can also serve God. And the treasure in you is the power of God that makes you able to do great things for God. Amen, church? Amen. Now, I tell you, I love serving God. I mean, I had a chance to preach on last Thursday, had a great time, awesome time, and to be able to stand before people and to bring a word that encourages people, that's a tremendous honor and privilege. It really is. And it's something that I couldn't do in myself. But all of us have this treasure, and, you know, treasure is expensive. Treasure is costly. How many of you own at least one diamond? About four of you have a diamond. All right. Well, we all got, how many have some gold? I got, oh, here we go. I got you on that one. Okay. How many have some cubic zirconium? Okay, all right. We all have stuff that is valuable to us, whether it's super costly or not. You know, it's the kind of thing you don't lay around. I mean, you know, it's a thing you don't lay on the table at the restaurant, walk away, you know. I mean, it's something you consider valuable. So treasure is that which we consider valuable and we treat it differently than other things in our lives. Amen? So, listen, God's raising up a people who are not limited by mediocrity, who are not limited by stuff in this world that doesn't help us and doesn't move us forward. Again, we have in our vessel a lot of things. Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, he said that in a house are many vessels. He said some to honor and some to dishonor. He says if anyone will purge himself from these, that is these dishonorable things, you can be a vessel fit and meet for the master's use. So we have this excellence of power in us. The thing is, we have to get to it. We have to find a way to tap it. We have to find a way to let that power come out of us and keep the other stuff inside of us. Better yet, to get rid of things in us that don't help serve God. Amen? Help us in God's service. So then, I want to talk to you today about going forward with excellence. Say forward. With excellence. Now, here is the definition of mediocrity. It is a quality that is acceptable, but not very good. A quality that's acceptable, but not very good. What do you consider in your life that's just acceptable, but not very good? See, that's mediocrity. And I would say this. I'm sure that in the areas in which God's giving you treasure, you don't have to settle for what's acceptable. Now, listen, I'm not a singer. If you ask me to sing, what you're going to get from me is mediocrity in singing. I'll be, in fact, I won't just not be very good. I won't be acceptable. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a singer. But all of us don't have to focus on things you don't do well because God's given you so much you can do well. And so but don't let mediocrity take the very treasure that God's put in you and let it lie there and just not be maximized, not be fulfilled. All right? And so that we don't want mediocrity. Say this, I don't want mediocrity. Even the word mediocre is a terrible sounding word. You know, it sounds bad, mediocre. And so that we're going to talk about excellence today. Now, the Bible says this. Let's look at, go to Psalm 16. We've read this to you many times. It's a great text, a great verse, one that we have really heard and embraced in this ministry. Psalm 16. And it's as if David's praising God and God speaks back to him in his praise. And it says here in Psalm 16, verse 2 says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, someone say, that's me. They are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Amen. Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. See, the treasure, as you said, we read earlier, that the excellence of the power is of God. Everything good about us is God working through us. And so that this goodness is nothing apart from God. And then he says here, but as for the saints in the earth, David praises God. Then God speaks back and says, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. So God looks down from heaven and he sees in all of us excellence. Even when we're in mediocrity, he still sees excellence in us as potential, right? Gideon, great example. You know, Gideon was that man we read about back in Judges, whom was, you know, hiding, pressing wheat, threshing wheat in a wine press to hide from the enemy. He had grown up under oppression. He was a man who was without dignity, a man who was crushed and broken. And yet God came and said to him, "I am with you, you mighty man of valor." Here's the amazing part. When God called Gideon a mighty man of valor, he was acting as a coward. He was hiding. He was afraid. He was anything but a mighty man of valor. But this is what we love about God. God decides to look past all the other stuff in us that's not his treasure. See, God is looking for the treasure in you. God sends people like myself, preachers, to try to pull the treasure up out of us. God sends those who keep challenging and say, you can be better than this. There's more in you than you're showing right now. Amen. So this is what David says in his prayer and praise. Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you, and that to the saints there are my excellent ones. So here's God calling us excellent when we're everything but. Amen for God. Amen. I mean, the fact is, your boss would fire you for the same stuff that God says, "I love you." You know, God looks past that stuff because the boss said, I can't roll with that here. I got things to do here. But God is willing to work with us and wait on us and send his word to help us, send people to mentor and coach us, sometimes even to correct us. Whatever it takes to get us to the treasure, to get us to the treasure and to get us going forward with excellence. The word excel, you know by now, we've taught this often, means what? Excel means what? Excel means go beyond. Go beyond. And so that we have to consider in our lives and our work and ministry, are we just kind of doing the mediocre thing of being just acceptable but not very good? Or are we willing to go beyond to find the treasure, to tap the treasure in us and extend God's work through us in our work in this world, our natural jobs? I mean, to make everything we touch and do it with the spirit of excellence. Is that what your desire? Yes. Amen. This is what God sees in us. I'm always happy, you know, when someone sees something in me. I think all of us have had experience of children growing up and having a teacher, a parent, somebody identify something good we've done. I believe that, you know, when children are real young, you got to always commend them for stuff they do. I mean, even if it's not all that good, you praise the effort. You know what I'm saying? They bring a mud pie in. It's a perfect mud pie. I mean, but they're dripping stuff on your carpet. It's a beautiful mud pie. Now you can take it out now, you know. I mean, but you want to try to encourage children in every way you can, okay? But as we get older, we have to have a higher and higher standard, don't we? So you get to a point where, I mean, what was acceptable as a 15-year-old, as a 20-year-old now, is just mediocre for you because you should be, you know, you're past that point, obviously. Even as adults now, we're, you know, 30s, 40s. I mean, as we progress in God, we can expect more and excellent from all of us. Amen? And one thing I have no problem doing, I have no problem calling for excellence in God's people. I got no issue with that. I mean, I hope you don't have a problem with me calling for it, because doesn't God want us to be the excellent ones? Yeah. Yeah. So somebody has to have the responsibility of calling us up and calling us out and saying, "Hey, there's more in you than you're showing right now. There's more treasure in you. There's something in you that you're not showing us, that God wants you to show not just us, but the world." Praise God. Now, the mediocrity, keep that to yourself. Don't let the world, because see, when the world sees Christians operating below where we can, it doesn't impress them. It doesn't please God. He said, "Let your light so shine that men may see what? Your mediocrity." No. Let your light shine. People may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. And one thing about believers in Christ, we don't have to make any apologies for what we can do in this present world. We can do stuff in this life, in this world. We can be the best employees, the best students, the best educators, the best musicians, I mean, the best media people. We don't have to take a backseat to anybody. Amen. In this world. Amen. As a matter of fact, if I may be so bold to say, because of Christ, because of the treasure in us, Amen. We should be better than people in this world who don't have Jesus Christ in their life. Amen? Amen. Look at Psalm, look at, make it, now make it Proverbs 8, please. Proverbs chapter 8. So we see that David praised God and God spoke back and spoke over him and all of us that we are the excellent ones in whom is God's delight. And to go forward, we have to find that place of excellence, because forward, going forward without excellence doesn't really take us forward in the right way. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6, it says, listen, 8, verse 6 of Proverbs, listen, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Wow, God said, listen. Now, if God says, listen, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to have to be, I'm all ears when God says, listen. There are people I don't listen to. People I listen to, all right? I listen to God, the people of God, people who have knowledge and wisdom. I don't listen to people who, just faking and talking and, don't have any fruit to back it up. I don't listen to mediocre people on certain things, I mean, hey, if a person says, offer you financial advice, well, show me your portfolio. It is all jacked up. I'm sorry. I can't listen to you on financial advice. I can't follow you because you're mediocre in this area. So then, he says, listen, everything God says is excellent. Everything God says will take us beyond. What God says, listen, God's excellent words will tap the excellence that's in you. Again, the treasure in you is put there by God, right? Now, who better to define for you what that treasure looked like than God himself? When you read the Bible with the heart of God and Holy Spirit helping you, you begin to find principles and truths in the scriptures that identify what's on the inside of you. Now, I got this car over a year ago, and the car has lots of technology in it. It's, in fact, it's a computer on wheels is what it is, all right? Got an engine, but there's a lot of tech in there. Well, I couldn't figure it all out just by looking at it. In fact, some of the buttons made no sense. So I had to go to the manual, get the user manual, had a CD and a DVD. Watch that. Oh, okay, I get it now. And so I began to learn how this thing works, how to use some of the controls in there, and I could bring out of the vehicle the features built into it. But until I had the instruction, until I listened and watched and read, I didn't understand what was in the vehicle, what features it had, okay? I mean, that goes to everything in life. How much more your life? How much more your spirit, your soul, your mind, your body? How much more has God put in us that until we hear his word, hear his spirit, and others who speak to us in his name, how will we know what that treasure is until we listen to people and listen to God? He says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. Through your life, you talk to folk, interact with people. You sit with people, everyone's talking to you about different things. And yet, how often, really, in those conversations, is something excellent being spoken to you? That happens. You get that in school oftentimes. But how much garbage are you also hearing? How much junk and useless stuff also bubbles up? Come on, somebody. I'm in a conversation in a group of people sometime, and the whole thing just goes sideways and crazy. Now, I've learned this. I got to excuse myself. I mean, I can't take but so much. I mean, I want to be hospitable and nice, but I just got to go. If it's really bad, I'm going to get up and walk. I got to go because there's no excellence in it. I'm not being challenged to come higher. I'm being challenged to go lower, and I ain't going lower. I can't go lower for anybody. Amen. Because the treasure in my vessel, the treasure in your vessel, is awaiting the excellence of the power of God to bring out. And what you surround yourself with, information-wise, people-wise, and inputs, will either help you reach those higher levels or stay mired in mediocrity. And I believe that we want to go higher. Huh? Amen. How about you? Yes. Ephesians chapter 1. Turn there, please. And also, if you could, find Hebrews 8. We'll touch these and move on. Ephesians 1, Hebrews 8. Now, everything about who we are in Christ is about going beyond and rising above. Ephesians chapter 1 says, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." Now get a hold of that, because Paul here said, referring to this treasure that's in Christ as well as us, what is the exceeding greatness of this power? What is this? What's the limit of this power? No limit. How far up does it go? There's no height beyond which it can go. He says, "It's according to the working of his mighty power," watch this, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Listen, when Christ raised from the dead, the resurrection of Christ was the greatest release of power in the history of the earth. I mean, creating the earth took a lot of power. I mean, imagine a power source. Now, this building here has what's called three-phase power. And, I mean, this building used to be a restaurant. It had 10 electric furnaces, freezers, in fact, there's a room out there. You could die if you want to die. I don't suggest you do this, but if you want to die, there's a room out there. We'll give you a key. You go in there. And there are three bars in there, copper bars about 3 inches thick and about a half inch wide. There's three of them in there. Okay? If you touch it, you will not get shocked. You will die. I'm telling you. You know, you touch a wall socket. Oh, ooh, that hurt. Over there, you're going to die. Okay? Because in fact, listen, there's so much power in this building. When everything else around us loses power, we still have it. Matter of fact, if the tribulation comes, just come on in here. Amen. We're going to survive tribulation. We got so much power in here. We survive the tribulation up in here. Now, my point. There's very little that can draw enough power to dim our lights in here. Okay? And so if you saw that the events in history and things that God has done as, you know, drawing power down, I mean, creation drew the power down, dividing the Red Sea drew some power, you know what I'm saying? But when God raised Jesus from the dead, everything flickered, man. There was so much power going out. Everything is like flickered off because there was it. So then, what is the exceeding greatness? All right, according to the mighty working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. See, far above every other power source, every other dominion, every other leader in the world, and all that. And over every name this name. So then, this is what we're talking about. This is the power. This is the source of our excellence. This is the source of the treasure inside of you. This is what empowers you to serve God if you want to serve him. Amen? And this is why, in light of that, how can I expect less of any one of us in Christ after reading something like that? Amen, church? So if you get offended when I say to you, come higher, be better, serve God, do more, I believe I'm in the right frame of heart and mind, because I know what's in you. You may know what's in you. And God is saying to you, hey, I want to see more than you're showing. Amen. Y'all got that? Amen. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Said Jesus Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. More excellent ministry, better covenant, better promises. The message is just simple, that everything in God is about going up, coming higher, going beyond. And so when Jesus Christ came and began to share his life and then give his life, he brought something called the New Covenant, which our church derives its name. New Covenant is that is that better promise, that better covenant over what the old covenant meant. You know, Moses brought the law. Thou shalt not, and all that. Now, it's important to recognize the law didn't go away. It was fulfilled in Christ. We still shouldn't steal. Amen, church. We shouldn't lie. Amen. We shouldn't bear against our neighbor false witness. We should honor our parents, honor mother and father. And so it didn't go away, but it was rolled into the new covenant. And now rather than trying to live by do's and don'ts and failing and falling all the time, we now have the power and the excellence of Christ in us. Now we can live and worship and serve and tell the truth and, you know, and be generous. I mean, these are things now in our hearts. And we can serve God from the heart because the law is fulfilled through Christ. So then we have, he has obtained a much more excellent ministry. Say his ministry is more excellent than what Moses did and anybody in the Old Testament. Amen. Look at Psalm 47. Give me some verses to think about. Here's one for you. Try to find Nahum. Nahum. Whoever gets it first, you get a free lump of sugar from the cafe. Okay, I don't know what's back there, but. All right, first of all, Psalm 47. It says in verse 4 that he, God, would choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. All right. So God is sometimes in a position where he has to choose stuff for us because what we're choosing for ourselves is not helping us. Sometimes we make pretty bad choices. Amen, church. We go out and just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We out in our flesh and ourselves. We make these choices, pick up this stuff, hook up with people, and find out, man, this is not helping me at all. And so that, but says when God chooses our inheritance for us, he says he would choose the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. Now, we taught you often about this thing of the excellence of Jacob. You've heard me teach it before. If you haven't, let me recap it just quickly for you. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis that two young men were born. They were twins, Esau and Jacob. Both conceived in the womb, twins, in the womb of their mother. And we know that Esau came out first in the birth. And the Bible says, strangely and interestingly, that when his twin brother came out, Jacob came out, he had a hold of the heel of his brother Esau. So here comes Esau being born, and he's out, and then there's a hand, you know, and hold of his brother's heel. So out comes Jacob right on the heels, quote unquote, of his brother Esau. Well, Jacob's name then meant one who takes hold of the heel, right? So Jacob then came out, but because Esau was born first, he had what's called a birthright. Now, let me give you a scripture. Look at Malachi 12. So he had this thing called a birthright. Now, a birthright is what belongs to the firstborn child, and especially the firstborn son. But a birthright in our language, in our context, means this. Your birthright is your God-given responsibilities. Say my birthright. Is my God-given responsibility. Now we have among us, we have singers, we have people who have abilities to write, speak, organize things. In fact, all of us have some types of abilities. Here's my point. Whatever you have received from God that you've always known you've had, that's your birthright in this context for us. Now, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 1, I'm sure you found out it's no Malachi 12, all right? If you found it, then Lord help us all, okay? But Malachi chapter, what I have here, I got Malachi 1 verse 2 without the colon, okay? No colon. So without the colon, you got 12. All right. So I mean, Malachi 1 verse 2 says, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? God says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. So God said, I loved you. I love Israel. But the people said, Lord, how have you loved us? And God's response was this. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? What's the point here? Well, see, God has the ability to differentiate between even twins. See, God doesn't throw you in with people. Okay, listen. One reason I don't believe that, for example, Katrina. I remember that back in the day. Katrina destroyed New Orleans. Folks said, well, that's the judgment of God. Well, my problem with that is, many problems, but among those is the fact that not everybody in New Orleans was of the devil. Okay? And when it came down to it, the sinners actually got out. The people who's supposed to get killed and destroyed got tickets and flights and got up out of there before the hurricane came. The folk who died were those who couldn't get out. The older people, elderly people, poor folk, those are the ones who got stuck there and died. So why would God kill them? Let all the sinners get away. That's what happened down there. That's exactly what happened down there. Well, see, so God differentiates between the righteous and the wicked. Okay? And so, listen, if God's going to get the wicked people, if God's going to get you, you're going to get God. Okay? No bus ticket, no flight. Won't nothing save you. If God's coming for you, won't nothing help you. So God, don't judge before the time. God's going to sort everything out. It hadn't come yet. It's coming, but not yet. But here's the point, though. The Bible says, yet Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Now, what God loved and hated was not the individuals as much as their behaviors. See, God loves everybody. He loves us. He loves me. Even when I make mistakes, God still loves me. Aren't you glad God loves you when you make a mistake? I mean, you especially thank God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because you feel like, Lord, I deserve to be thrown out for what I did, you know. He doesn't throw you out. Amen. But here's the thing. But God may love or hate how we're operating. Now, the Bible says Esau in Hebrews was a profane person. He despised his birthright. Now, you can read the whole story in Genesis 25. But Esau despised his God-given responsibility. And we know it because one day his brother Jacob came and asked Esau, you know, for some soup. He was fixing up. And so Esau said... No, Esau asked Jacob for some soup. Thank you. He was fixing up, okay? Because, you know, Jacob was in the house, Esau was in the field, you know. And so that Esau wanted some of that soup, and Jacob said, well, some of your birthright, and you could have the soup. Now, see, for that alone, we say Jacob was a deceiver. There ain't no deception. That's plain in your face. See, deception is, I'm going to trick you. He didn't trick you. He said, hey, you want soup? Give me your birthright. Right. Esau, with his fool self, said, okay, yeah, I don't need this. I'm about to die. I'm so hungry. So the man gave up his birthright. He gave up that firstborn privilege. Well, they're both firstborn in one sense. But here's the thing. Esau gave up his birthright, his God give him responsibility. He gave it up for just something to eat. You could buy that dude for a nickel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God, listen, y'all, God is not pleased with anybody can be bought that easily. Some of us can be bought out by nothing and nobody. I mean, I pray even at the threat of death, we won't deny Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray it doesn't come to that. But I wonder if folks say, hey, who's your Lord and Savior? If you say Christ, you're going to die. Say, my Lord and Savior. I ain't got no Lord and Savior, you know. I mean, I wonder if we would deny Jesus if we came to that. Well, Esau did for something much, much less. Man, he was bought, they bought him for a nickel. And so that, here's the thing. The Bible says, Esau, I have hated. That's what got him in trouble. God hated that the man just disregarded, didn't care about his God-given gifts. If you will, he despised the treasure in his earthen vessel. Hear me, church. Hear me. You've got treasure in you. What are you doing with it? It doesn't bless God. It doesn't please God for us to despise it, ignore it, not let it be used in the service of the kingdom. What happens sometime in the world is this. You've seen it before where people have all these great gifts, especially, you know, singing is kind of a big gift everybody can hear and see easily, but it's more gifts than singing, amen. But we see it more in singing where a person has a great gift from God to sing, but gives it over to the world. Now, listen, I believe a person can be a singer and do stuff in the world. I mean, if you can be a mechanic technician and fix stuff in the world, you can fix stuff in the church. So, I mean, you can sing in the world. Hear me now. But you just can't go everywhere and do everything. I mean, people in the orchestra are not singing for Jesus. But I can see Christians being in the orchestra. Come on. I can see it. Y'all all right with this? You know, if you're a singer, you got to sing in church. They don't want you in church. So, you know, I mean, for example, if you're in, well, I ain't going there. I'll just say this. Church folk are all jacked up. So forget, you know, that stuff I do, people ain't have a problem with. I do stuff with technology. Well, what's the point to that? You know, it's excellence. It's treasure in me. Here's the thing, though. Whatever you have, whatever it is in you, if you disregard it, don't give any of it back to God, don't do it in Jesus' name, you're despising your birthright. And if God ever says, I hate Brian, it's not because he hates the person, he hates the way I'm acting. Don't make God hate what we're doing, amen? He loves the person, but God hates the behavior. So then what did God hate about Esau? He disregarded his birthright. He didn't care about his God-given gifts and responsibilities. Wouldn't give none of it to God. Instead, he exchanged it for a bowl of soup. Now watch this. But he says, Jacob, I have loved. So when it says there, I will give you the inheritance, or I will choose your inheritance for you. Listen, God says, I choose that you would recognize what I've put in you. Your inheritance, God says, is what I've already put in you. And I am pleased, and I love it when you give back to me what I have given to you. All right. Amen, church?
Amen.
It really blesses the Lord. And so that we find people, you know, all over, and again, singers are more prominent, like Whitney Houston, you know, who in my opinion was the greatest singer ever, in my opinion. I mean, as far as a female singer, go listen to her recording and tell me who's better than that, you know. But here's the thing. Now, I don't know where her soul is and all that. She had a testimony, but she got caught up in some stuff too. Like a lot of us do, amen? Now, when you're famous, you get caught up, everybody talk about you. Now, you caught up, nobody knows who you are.
All right.
But God sees the mess you're doing. Yes. Poor Whitney. No, poor you. Poor me. We dump on them famous people, you know what I'm saying? We got mess. You hope nobody, hope to God nobody see, you know. But here's the thing, though. Man, don't make God hate what you're doing. Make God love what you're doing. Help God love what you're doing by honoring your God-given gifts. Give yourself to God's service. You know, get involved with the things of God here at church and the outreaches. I mean, do something, man. Serve the purpose of God with the treasure that's in you. So I will serve God as he gives me grace to do so. Another example is Daniel. Now, Daniel was such an example. Look at Daniel chapter 1, please. That he was a great example because Daniel worked for the government. Did you know that? Daniel lived in a time when Israel was under captivity to Babylon and other kingdoms. And so Daniel recognize the treasure in his heart. Now, it's one thing to be among Christians who talk Christianese, you know, who say praise the Lord back. But it's different when you're in a different context and say praise the Lord, and people say, what is wrong with you? You know, what's your problem? You know, or worse yet, you're bombarded with all these different words, swear words and coarse jokes and crude stuff. Now, when you're in that kind of environment, then the tendency is to just kind of back off your testimony, tone down your rhetoric, your godly rhetoric, as it were, and kind of blend in. But the Bible says that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So when we're at work, government, companies, whatever, we're all going to lunch together. My coworkers whom I respect, who respect me, and we're at lunch together, and they break out the wine, you know. They bring the bottle, set it right down the table, boom. You know, the Bordeaux, whatever it is, and they hand the glasses are going around. They start pouring the wine. What you going to do? What you going to do? Give me some of that. You know, it's going around. No, you're going to say, hey, you know, give me some soda water. Give me Coke, Pepsi, something, you know. I don't drink wine. I don't drink. I don't get drunk. It's not being drunk. Do you feel differently? Yeah, you're drunk. We call it cop the buzz, you know. I even save all my life, all right? You can't run nothing by me. I know all about all that stuff. Some of y'all been saved your whole life, or you think you've been saved your whole life, but I actually was not saved my whole life. So whatever you drink, if you feel different, you're drunk. Y'all all right? But listen, Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore requested of the chief of the eunuchs, you know, I don't want this. Excuse me from it. He was excused from it. But listen, the thing about Daniel is that earned him more respect. Listen, people of God, when you stand up for Jesus, you actually get more respect from people. If folk know you're a Christian and you're slipping and dipping, man, you have less respect. And plus, God don't like it. So God is hating on you. Your friends say he's a phony baloney Christian. And the treasure is sitting there going nowhere. You're not going beyond, you're going backwards. Everything opposite what you should be doing. Come on, somebody. Yeah, now listen. Yeah, folk may respect you, but some are going to hate you too. I mean, some may hate you. Who you think you are not drinking with us? Y'all all right? Well, glory. I know we got some wine drinkers. Mm-hmm, wine bibbers. Talking about, I ain't going to go there too much, but this ain't Europe, by the way. We ain't in Europe, all right? We're in America, okay. Here's the point. The real point is this. That Daniel had a bigger purpose in his life that would have been not served by caving in and doing what everybody else is doing. Watch this. Look at verse 17. All right. Along with Daniel, some other men. It says, young men. As for these young men, these four young men who gave them knowledge, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature, wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, please hear this. Daniel prepared himself for something he didn't know what was coming. How many of you have a sense that God has something great in store for you? How many have a sense of that? You feel like that? How many of you don't have no sense like that? How many don't even give a hoot? Okay, all right. Now listen, when you feel like that, when you feel God has something for you, it's going to affect how you operate today. Because, you know, even God, you know, God hides himself. God doesn't tell you sometime what he has in store for you. I mean, sometimes, you know, we have recognized people in ministry and leadership over the years, but I would never tell a person that God has called you to the ministry. I don't tell people that. I may even see it. I may know it. But I want to see if they're going to see it. Because, you know, if I call you, I got to keep you. And I can't keep you if I ain't going to call you, you know. I mean, in other words, say if I call you to ministry and can't get you to church, can't get you to prayer meeting, I can't get you to even prepare to teach. I done called you to preach and you won't do nothing. Now I'm stuck with you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I ain't going to be stuck with nobody, you know, who's supposed to be a leader ain't going to lead. So I'm not going to, you know, recognize any leader until they show leadership before being recognized. Amen, church? Because Daniel, see, God didn't tell Daniel what he had in store for him. Now watch this. Daniel, he said, Lord, he said, King, I don't want this junk over here. I can't do this over there. I don't want this and the other. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I just can't go there with everybody else. And these three and these four boys, I mean, he said God gave them knowledge and skill in literature. Listen, they weren't just not spiritual, man. They knew their jobs. They were skilled in the world's information. They knew what was happening. They were on top of their game in the natural world. Well, a time, look at Daniel chapter 5. On two occasions, one was in Daniel 2, where there was a king had a dream, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that Daniel interpreted. But here's another example of how their preparedness paid off. It says in Daniel chapter 5, verse 10, it says, the queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall, and the queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change, for there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And they're talking about Dave, talking about Daniel. Verse 12 says, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, say excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Wow. Now, hope this has some meaning to you. Because when you're not in the presence of people, okay, and people are thinking, who can we call to work this issue for us? They call your name. Now, I promise you, because, you know, I'm an employer and we've had preschool, we do things and I have meetings. We got to evaluate the resumes, evaluate different things. And you got to talk about people. Okay. I'm telling you, not in derogatory fashion. You got to put the cards on the table. What about Sally? Sally always late to everything. Sally, you know, haven't shown any initiative. All right, what about Bob? You know, Bob got a problem running his mouth. What about Daniel? Now, that's a young man. We've had our eye on him for some time. We've noticed he stood up to the king and wouldn't take the king's delicacies. He kept himself separated from things that would diminish his ability and capacity. And this Daniel, he has an excellent spirit. He has knowledge. He has understanding. He has interpreting. He interprets dreams. And so in that meeting, it said, out of Daniel's presence, he wouldn't even say, call Daniel. Go get Daniel. And Sally and whoever I said, you know, I don't know what happened. The phone never rang, all right? I mean, because people, you know, God and people, I mean, the things of God, opportunities sometimes, it comes down to the choices we're making that have created a track record for us that folks say, hey, we can use that or we can use it. Amen, church? And so that, here's my advice to you. Just do everything the best you can. Listen, y'all, just recognize that the treasure God has given you, that whatever you have in Him, man, you know, go for it. Do the best you can, which means trust God and go beyond what you think you can do. Because there's more in you than you are showing us. There's more in you. I know for a fact there's more in many of us than I've seen in this church. Amen? And in your life. God has more for you. Say, God has more for me. I often told you the story of my coach, Mr. Bennett. I love that story. I tell it again and again because it meant so much to me as a 15-year-old kid out there in the track, you know, running. He had to run these laps, you know. And I was into, you know, I was into weightlifting and throwing shot put and all that, you know, heavy-duty man stuff, you know. And running with little guys, you know. But he made us run because running, fitness is important for everybody. So we're running out there and running, and I'm like, Coach, I'm tired, Coach, you know. And he see me dragging. Hudson, push yourself. I said, Coach, I'm going to die. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. I never forget that. I'm not telling you again, right? Because I never forgot that. You need somebody that won't accept the mediocrity you're showing him. Somebody won't accept your complaints, your excuses. Come on. Someone who really knows you and knows what's in you and will not settle for less. Even at the expense of you being offended. Because you need people who come and say, look, I love you. I know what's in you. And it's time for you to let the treasure of God rise up and be seen. Amen. So they called Daniel. I love this. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar, there is a man, not a boy. He was a boy age, but he called him a man. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And Daniel had no idea of talking about him. He was somewhere else. But they called him. They called him, and the rest is history. He interpreted the dream. And Daniel may have thought, man, thank God I didn't do the stuff I could have done. Thank you, Lord, for helping me understand before I knew I would come to this place that I need to prepare myself for this place and not miss the opportunity when it came. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So final verse I'll give you. I have more. I'll just maybe share more next time if God says the same. But look at Proverbs 22. We'll close here. Got to wind this up. Proverbs 22. Again, talking about going forward, forward, forward. That's our theme here. All right. Proverbs 22, verse 29. All right. So Daniel gave us one example. Here's what the proverb says, verse 29. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? Man or woman, of course. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Now, listen, church, your work is everything you do. Not just your job, but how you pray, how you serve God in the church. I mean, because you know that God, now, thank God for your job and your work, but there's no reward just based on your job in heaven, all right? The reward is based on how you treated people on your job, your spirit you had in your job, but how you did up the counts and all that, no reward in heaven for that. That's just your job, okay? But how you handle yourself on your... So here's the point. Your real work is an ambassador for Jesus. Your real work is a disciple of Jesus. Your real work is how you spend time with God, how you read the Bible, how you interpret Scripture. I mean, your work is not just what you might think in the natural. So here it is. Do you see a man who excels in his work? I mean, every level, he will stand before kings. When you do good work, like David found out and Daniel found out, when you do good work, you end up in places before important people, not always the president himself, but other people who have authority. When you do your work well, when you excel, you end up in a place among authority. You end up with authority. You end up in a place of being more influential and doing more to help people than you ever imagined before. Amen, church? Amen. Let's all stand.